At least two leading candidates took their names out of contention for defense secretary. So the president will, as far as we can tell, turn to Ash Carter, a former deputy secretary, with degrees in physics and medieval history. Carter first worked as a civilian analyst in the 1970s. He's held policy positions in both the Clinton and Obama administrations. So what can the military expect from a Secretary Carter? For some insight, we turn to former Senator Jim Talent, now a senior fellow and director of the National Security 2020 Project at the American Enterprise Institute. Senator, great to have you back.
Thanks, Tom.
Ash Carter is often described as a wonk or a technocrat. What type of guy is he for this job?
Well, I think he's a good choice, and actually a little bit better than I thought the White House would be able to get. Now, one of the things I'm wondering is whether he received any undertakings from the White House that they would actually, you know, listen to him, and in particular allow him to push very hard for additional resources for the department, because that's going to be the key to his success if he's able to achieve it.
And so the resources are needed in what areas, do you feel?
Ash would be the third defense secretary in the last 3.5 years since the Budget Control Act and sequester went into effect, which cut about $1 trillion out of the budget over 10 years. And so we've had shortfalls in current readiness, shortfalls in future readiness. It's really across the board. It was those cuts that Leon Panetta described as devastating, and he was right. So I'm sure that Ash will try and get the top line up in order to, for example, protect training, force size for the Army, and to be able to invest in the kind of systems we need for the future. And then above and beyond that, is he going to be able to forge a strong relationship of trust with the White House? I think those are the key issues.
Now, of course, in a practical sense, he may only have really one fiscal year to deal with the Pentagon, since right now there's a vote about to take place on the 2015 budget. So he might have a say in the 2016 budget, and then 2017 could be for whoever follows this whole Congress. So what, if you were in his shoes, what would you focus on first?
Again, I think to make certain we can get back the current readiness that we lost, and then issues like increasing the rate of naval shipbuilding, I think, is key. Being able to buy efficiently and meet the requirement for F-35 for the Air Force is hugely important. The department's starting to undertake in earnest a review of our space architecture, which is aging and increasingly vulnerable. And you're right, he's not going to be able to, in the next 2 years, control the entire direction of that. But he can make some key decisions about what we ought to be doing, what the policy ought to be in terms of replacing that. So, I mean, there are some really key programmatic decisions he needs to make. And as you know, the secretary is also a key in terms of operations. So his opinion, I hope, is listened to, for example, in operations in Iraq.
But it seems like on the policy front, that was where the disagreements came between the Obama administration, the insiders there in the White House, and former or soon-to-be former Secretary Hagel. So perhaps Ash Carter was picked because he can run the department and can do some of those technical and programmatic things, and maybe the president figures he'll not be such a strong voice in the policy side?
Yeah, I think that's a $64 question is whether Secretary Carter has agreed to whatever restrictions that Hagel and Panetta chafed at, or whether the White House has agreed to give him more scope and to to listen better, or whether they have no agreement and they're just going to try and work it out. I mean, because it's no secret that past secretaries have felt like their opinion was not respected as much as they would have wanted. And Ash Carter is a very substantial person with a lot of credibility in the Pentagon, and he can do a lot of good to the White House if they'll listen to him.
We're speaking with former Senator Jim Talent, who is now a senior fellow and director of the National Security 2020 Project at the American Enterprise Institute. And what about relations with the brass, you know, the top brass at the Pentagon? I think you've started to answer that, but it seems like there's already some mutual respect there between them and Ashton Carter. And how important is that to a defense secretary for getting things done?
I think it's hugely important, and particularly now when morale is not good at any level of the department. He's been the number two and the number three man, the deputy secretary, the undersecretary for AT&L, which, of course, as you know, handles all the different programs of the department. And I think he has a good relationship with the service secretaries and the chiefs. He knows combatant commanders from his days as deputy. He's thoroughly respected, and I think he's very smart. You're right. He not only has a degree in medieval history, but he has a degree in particle physics, too, I believe. So, yeah, he's kind of wonky, but I think he knows the building, and he's respected. And I think he can really, I mean, insofar as anybody can in the remaining 2 years, I think he can do some good. I'm pleased at the appointment. Again, I just hope that the White House listens to what he says.
And what about the international effect of all of this? Sometimes people come in to Defense Secretary, and it sends a signal around the world of what, depending on the type of person it is. You know, maybe a Don Rumsfeld, for example, sends one kind of signal, and a Les Aspin, a totally different type of signal. Does this say anything to the world leaders and enemies as well?
I don't think that Secretary Carter is associated closely with any particular camp in foreign policy. So in that sense, I think it's unlikely to send a signal. You know, for example, Secretary Hagel had a reputation as kind of a maverick and a questioner of Americans' leadership and presence abroad. And certainly Ash doesn't have that. But I don't know that you know, that by itself and his reputation by itself is going to reassure allies who have been concerned by the Obama administration's passivity in a number of places in the world.
All right. So presuming he, and it looks like he's got pretty good support on Capitol Hill, it seems like both, you know, senators from both sides have said they would support that nomination. So he would go in some ways with more bipartisan support than Chuck Hagel had when he went in.
Yes, I think it's a good choice. I was concerned, given the constraints on past defense secretaries, that the Obama administration would not be able to find anybody who's good who'd be willing to do it. And as you mentioned in the lead-in, there are several people who've taken their names out of consideration, and I think that was one of the reasons. So I'm pleased at this. I just hope that the president and his staff have decided to give Secretary Carter the credence and his advice the credence that his experience warrants. And so that's what really remains to be seen.
And what about Robert Work, who is now the deputy secretary? His name came up as a possible secretarial nomination. Will he be likely to stick around when someone who had the same job before him moves to the top of the heap there?
Yeah, I don't see – he's – fairly recently, as you know, taking the deputy job, and I think Secretary Work is a person who's loyal, but I don't mean that, you know, necessarily, he's politically loyal, but I mean beyond that, I think he's loyal to the needs of the department, and I think he'll want to stay and work with Ash Carter to see if they can do something to stem the bleeding, which is really the only way you can describe what's been happening at the department for the last several years. So I see no reason they won't make a good team. I think they've worked together before, but there is always a personal dynamic between the secretary and the deputy that has to be worked out, and they have to decide between them really what the deputy is going to do. And there's different constructs and theories and traditions in the past, and they're going to have to decide how they want to handle that.
And I guess to some degree, Ash Carter will have to learn how to be the top guy and maybe give up some of the hands-on and technical things he's been used to as a deputy and as a deputy undersecretary.
Usually that's how it's done. I mean, they'll describe it in shorthand as the deputy running the department and then the secretary representing the department, obviously making the top policy decisions, but representing the department both within the administration, to the Congress, to the people, and then to other countries and other militaries. You don't have to do it that way. I mean, the secretary can be more hands-on with particular kinds of programs. What you just have to do is have an understanding between the secretary and the deputy about how they're going to handle it, and then everybody in the department has to understand that as well. What you don't want is confusion or a kind of struggle at the top over who's going to be doing what. And I imagine they'll get that down.
Former Senator Jim Talent is a senior fellow and director of the National Security 2020 Project at the American Enterprise Institute. Thanks so much for joining me.